Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am thankful. I am grateful. I am blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. God is so very good. So very good. All I can say is I had a kind of mostly great day except for my Bears did win, but I understand that was just not God's will on yesterday, so I had to deal with it. You know, even though my pastor and one of my friends decided to, you know, talk about it, but that's all right. That's all right. I'm gonna let it go. You know, but I'm just saying, hey, you win some and you lose some. But we give God praise, we give God honor, and we give God glory. Nobody got seriously injured, and they get to play another day. That's a blessing, and that's how we look at it. But the word that God gave me this morning, and again, oh, good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this very
cool
morning?
Good morning, Pastor Bridget.
You're doing
good
well.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm doing good.
Well, I am grateful.
And good morning.
Just letting everybody know, we are on Blog Talk Radio as well as conference call. And I just want to tell all of you, thank you so very much, whichever way you join us. We appreciate you, and we ask God to watch over and bless you. As we get ready to go into our word this morning, we're going to ask Mother Valerie to lead us in prayer, as she will be reading this morning Genesis chapter 15 and 16. And then I will be back with our song.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mother. We're getting started. And our psalm for today is the fifth psalm, verses 1 through 7. And our proverb this morning is the second proverb, verses 6 through 9. And we will be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 35, which is where our title comes from this morning. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And before Mother prays, I have a prayer from our prayer book. And then I will be turning it over to Mother Valerie to take us into the throne, take us to the throne and take us into our word of God this morning. And all I can say is fully committed. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the word that God gave us in our prayer this morning is fully committed. We must be fully committed to God and the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the word that God gave us for this morning in our prayer is from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61. And it's from the NRSV. And it says, "Denote yourselves completely to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments." And, you know, I want to go to my other Bible and pull this word up. I have one of my study Bibles is because it has the NLT, the NIV, New King James and King James in it. But I tell you, it is very, very good because you can check to see the difference in scripture. And when you're studying, it's nice to see which version someone may be reading if you're getting the same context of the Word of God. Because we all know that there are so many different versions these days out there that you have to be extremely careful which one you pick up. And when we go into First Kings, before I go into the prayer, chapter 8, verse 61, and it says, and this is from the King James Version, "Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day." And then New King James is pretty much the same as King James. "Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as this day." And in the NIV says, "And may your heart be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commandments as at this time." And then when we go over to the, it says, "And may you be completely faithful to the Lord our God. May you always obey his decrees and commands just as you are doing today." Fully committed to God is what God is asking for us. You know, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it says this, "Son of God, I am so grateful that I have in you the perfect example of what it looks like to be devoted fully to the Father when it feels impossible to give you everything. I am reminded that walking with you is an epic journey, not a short stroll. Thank you that you are incredibly patient with me, even in my wandering and failures. Devotion does not require perfection, only a heart and life yielded to your love. In keeping with that, I will not live under the weight of shame that declares if it isn't perfect, it isn't worth anything. Thank you, God, that as I keep coming back to you, I am reminded that your grace and mercy are what keep me to your loving heart. That is the only way I can remain in you, pouring out my love and walking in your ways. Here I am again, Lord, committed to you because, oh, faithful one, you are committed to me." Ooh, what a word this morning. And it says, "What has been holding you back from being fully devoted to the Lord?" And as we go today into our word, let us remember, as Mother is reading the scriptures this morning, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and watch God work in our lives. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Good morning. Good morning, good people morning. Of God. Good morning, Pastor Bridget. And good morning, Rita Davis. Your voice sounds so far away. That's why I asked you, where are you? Well, good morning, Rita Davis. I'm reading out of Genesis 15 and 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what would you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' Then Abram said, 'Look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir. The one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' He brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven. Count the stars if you're able to number them.' And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed every single thing that the Lord said, and it was counted to him for righteousness because he believed God. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought all these things to him and cut them in two down the middle, placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You should be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates, the Kenizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Ammonites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Chapter 16. Now Sapphira, Abraham's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sapphira said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sapphira. Then Sapphira, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. There's a lot of noise going on. Mute your phone. There's a lot of noise going on. Please mute the phone. Thank you. Then Sapphira said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that you had conceived, I came despised in her eyes. Lord, judge between you and me. So Abram said to Sapphira, indeed, your maid is in your hands. Do to her as you please. And when Sapphira dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sapphira. Angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, for they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man, and shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also have seen him who sees me? Therefore, the well was called Beer, La Rapha. Observe it is between Kadesh and Beer. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham named his son, whom Hagar bore him, Ishmael. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Life lessons, Genesis 15 and 6. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed everything that God said to him. He would have a son. So one time, go out there and look at the stars and see if you can number those stars. That's what your descendants would be. Abraham believed God, even though he was old and going to have a baby. The first time God told Abraham he would have a child, Abraham got down on the floor and he rolled and he laughed. But yet he believed God. And Abraham had a son. The promised child was Isaac. Even when Abraham did not see how God could fulfill his gracious promise to him regarding the heir, he trusted the Lord anyway. He looked beyond what he could see to what God could see. He couldn't see it, but God could see it. A lot of times, we can't see what God sees in us. And just like God told Moses to go out, and Moses to the Lord, send somebody else. I don't talk right. I stutter when I talk. Can you send somebody else? God told Gideon to go out. And Gideon said, no, I'm a little person. I'm the least in my family. I can't go out. And God said, you are a mighty man. A lot of times we don't see what God sees in us. Now, I never thought that I would be teaching, not me, because I didn't like to get up and speak. Rita didn't like to get up and speak. Janice didn't like to get up and speak. The only person that would speak would be Angeline. None of us females, Peggy would speak, but I never thought I would teach a lesson. Not me. When I was at Abundant Faith, I didn't have probably nothing to say, you know, as far as teaching. I socialized with people, but teaching, are you kidding? And now I love to teach. I love to speak and speak the word of God. When God called me, I mean, I knew it was God. But it took me since I was 80 years old to answer the call of God on my life because I just couldn't see myself speaking to God's people. But I love to teach and speak. I mean, I couldn't see that. But God sees something in you that you can't see in yourself. I mean, you don't see it, but God knows you. He knows what he put in you. He knows you. He knows that you can do this. He knows that. You don't know that. But if you trust God, just trust God and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything will be added into you. Just trust God. Lean not into your own understanding. In all ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path if you will trust God. Life lesson, Genesis 15, 16. In the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. God is more patient than we can imagine. He would wait over 400 years to give the land a promise to his people because the wicked Canaanites had not yet reached the point of no return. God is a good God. And it took over 400 years. He would wait over 400 years to give the land a promise? That's a long time, 400 years. But in those days, the people of God lived 600, you know, 400, 300 years. I wonder what do a 400 or 500-year-old person look like? What do they look like? I don't know, but I think I would like to see somebody say, oh, how old are you? I'm 400 years old. Wow. God is just a good God. He's good all the time. He can see, well, he made us. Of course he knows what's in us. He knows what we can do when we don't know what we can do. You know, we feel No, I cannot do that. And I won't do it. I mean, for a long time, I didn't answer the call of God on my life because, you know, I didn't like to speak. But now I love to speak. I love to bring a lesson. I don't mind studying and it's really nice to study and to learn Bible facts. I went over a lot of Bible facts with Rita, and it was fun. She had fun and I had fun because there's things like the smallest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. And I said, wow, it's wonderful to read God's word and learn God's word. God is a good God all the time. And right now we're on a 21-day fast. It'll start today. No, last night at 12. And it'll go up until the 27th. And that's a good thing, fasting and reading the word of God. And they put down, what do you want to accomplish in this fast? Well, naturally, we want to get closer to God. For God is good, and his mercy endures forever. God is just a good God. A lot of times, we don't understand why we have to go through things. Why, Lord, why? And a lot of times, he don't reveal that. But you know, we still have to hold on to God. We can't let go. You serve God for 50 years and then let go in the last 2 weeks of your life, or you die and go to hell. You have to hold on to God regardless of what you're going through. And people go through things. They go through things. And we still have to trust God, just like Job did. Told his wife, you sound like a foolish woman. She said, curse God and die, because Job was going through. And she told him, why don't you curse your God and die? He said, woman, you sound foolish. You sound foolish. He held on to God to the very, very end, and God restored him. So he didn't curse God. He just didn't. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor. Pastor Bridget?
I'm here. Good morning. And there is a sound that sounds almost like a drip of water or something. But everybody, please, if you are on the conference call line, please mute phones because it is an echo still in here. Can you hear me clearly, Mother?
I can hear.
Great. I do want to go back over. Did you just hear that? It's like a sound. I cannot put my finger on it, but it's like a sound that keeps coming through, like a metal sound or a dripping sound. But again, we just asking everybody, please mute your phones that are on conference call. And this is what the Word of God says to us in a life principle, excuse me, from yesterday's lesson. And it's dealt with peace with God is the fruit of oneness with God. You know, because we want to seek God, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'm going to go back to our psalm for yesterday, and it is the fourth psalm, verses 4 through 8. And it says, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. And Sister Carolyn came yesterday with Proverbs chapter 3, you know, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord. And the word of God said, put your trust in the Lord. And it says, there are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increase. I will both lie down and eat and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And when we go over to this word that Dr. Stanley gave us on yesterday, it says, every now and then, we do well to take stock in our situation. So I'd like to ask you to look around. What's happening in your life and in the life of your family? You may not be experiencing a difficult time. From your perspective, everything may seem sunny and clear. Storms come, however, at times. They roll over our lives with bounding blows. How do we maintain a sense of peace and spiritual balance when trials strike? The answer is found in a close, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. The words of Helen Lemille's classic hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," contains a vital and exciting truth. An unshakable peace is available to all who turn the eyes of their hearts to Jesus. You know, we sing a song, "Open the eyes of my heart to children, Lord, that I want to see you." You know, we want to open our hearts to God. We want to open everything to him. And it says chances are that when adversity strikes one of the first things you do is to wonder why. Then you may question what kind of impact it will have on your life. While reactions such as these are normal, we also need another response, and that is to turn to the one who holds all comfort and security firmly within his grasp. No one outside of God is equipped to handle our problems. He never meant for us to be strong on our own. He wants us to find courage and hope and strength in him and his word. Again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it says, you know, it tells us in, Dr. Stanley said, when we cave into thoughts of anxiety, we lose our spiritual focus and mindset. The key to overcoming anxiety is found only in the presence of God. And Paul admonishes to be anxious for nothing, but in everything be by thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. So we have to be anxious for nothing. And so many times we get anxious. Abraham and Sarah got anxious. She wanted a baby, and she wanted her baby now. And so she gives her maid to her 86-year-old husband. So you think about it. I'm sure Hagar was not very old. I'm sure Hagar was like, what in the world is going on here? And we think about it all the time. Most of us, if we are in America, and I'm talking those of African American descent that have been in the United States, their family was in the time of slavery. I guarantee in your DNA, you have something that is not all African. In my DNA, I'm about 10% Caucasian. And it is what it is, you know, but I also have, you know, 1% Native American and 1% Spanish, you know, 1% here and there. But, you know, my family has been here a whole long, long time. And it is what it is. And you're laughing, you say, Swedish and Danish. I don't know where that came from, but okay, God. But, you know, we have to understand that because we are a melting pot, and again, as Mother Valerie and I have been speaking since we read Noah and his wife and his son's wife, we are family, and we got to get over foolishness. And that is what God is telling us, that we have to accept in God's timetable and limitations he places on any given situation. You know, I'm sure our ancestors, as we are getting into Martin Luther King's birthday and African American History Month, that we have to remember that we are a melting pot in this nation. And there are those that want to talk about immigrants so badly. If it came down to that, those that have had their family roots here for over 400 years can tell anybody to go home. We were here first. And the only ones that can say that are native to this nation. They are the indigenous people Amen. Of this country. So nobody else has the right to mm-hmm. tell anybody to go anywhere, because unless they are indigenous. And understand, they lost more than anybody else. Native indigenous people Amen. And African Americans have suffered the most in this nation. But again, We still love each other. We still praise God. We still look up to the heavens. We still look up to God from whence comes our help. Our help comes from the Lord. And understand what some may take, God is going to restore. So we don't worry about all of that stuff because we still, above everything else, we are family. And God wants us to be united as family. There's no white people to God. There's no Native Americans to God. There are no black people, no Asian people. There are no anything to God. We are all one to God. Got to understand
Amen.
That he wants us to seek him first and his righteousness, not all the foolishness that's going on in this world, especially the bigotry and hatred that goes on in this, which is nonsense.
Are you?
You know, one group hating another group, where they taking our jobs. No, they're not taking anything. They're seeking a better life. You know, our ancestors didn't have a choice. They came and they built this nation. But we still have to pray and we still have to come together in peace, in love, in unity, because that's what God wants. And yes, he has given us some difficult times. He has given us some times that will haunt the soul. When you hear the things that you hear and you read the things that you read in history, you get like, so, like, Lord, but why? But everything is for a purpose and a reason, and we got to keep trusting God. Keep trusting
Amen.
Keep believing that he can and he will, because he wants us to seek him first. And when we go back into this word that Dr. Stanley wrote, he said, at one of the most difficult points in his life, David wrote the 91st Psalm. And I pray that psalm every night before I go to sleep, which begins, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I trust. I go to sleep
Amen.
Every evening trusting that God is going to wake me up the next day. It tells us this. How could David write such words, especially with King Saul trying to kill him? David had a divine, unshakable peace within his heart. He knew this was God's responsibility. And God will protect him. The safest place for you when trials come is in the everlasting arms of Jesus. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples and said to them, peace be with you. John 20:19. This was not a trite greeting. The Lord had a specific point in mind. He spoke of God's peace, immovable and eternal. The peace you need today. We got to have peace. And that comes from seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said
Amen.
His words. It says, does something trouble you? Has a conflict, a sorrow, a situation escalated beyond your control? Hear this message to you. Peace be with you. Let his peace invade your heart. Tell him all you are feeling. He understands and knows that life can be difficult, but he has a solution.
Amen.
Our peace resides in our Savior, who loves us unconditionally. He has promised to keep us and deliver us into the Father's loving arms. We got to seek God first. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him when you're coming in. Seek him when you're going out. Seek him when you rise up. Seek him when you go to sleep. Seek God. And understand that Jesus loves us. Or he wouldn't have come back into this, wouldn't have come into a physical body through woman to be born a man, a human, just like us. He didn't have to do it, but he did to save us so that his daddy didn't have to come down, blood the earth again, or send a meteorite to destroy it. Jesus came to save us. As the song, Jesus made it all to him I owe. We got to know who we owe. We owe the Lord. We got to seek him first. And as the psalmist said, this is what David said in chapter 5 of Psalm, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Again, David was meditating and seeking God. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. Come on now. my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. But you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You will hate all the workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. What the word God says, thou shall not bear false witness. Isn't that what he said? It tells us. You know, God don't like that foolishness. He don't like it. You know, we don't call folks fools, but God does not like foolishness. And it tells us, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. All kind of stuff is coming out into the open. Every time you turn on the television, every time you put on YouTube and go to the news, all kind of wickedness and deviance is coming out of folks that you least expect. All kind of stuff. The, as they say, them covers are being pulled off of some stuff that's been going on, and we are seeing it. The Epstein, whatever files are coming out, and you're finding folks on that list that you're like, oh, my Lord.
Amen.
Folks of faith, folks in royalty, all kind of people. Black, white, it don't matter. All kind of folks is on them list. You know, when you do wicked, you better know somebody's going to know about it. And then there's others that are coming out of very rich, rich people who have sold their souls. Because now it's coming out, sold your soul. Because you think you can do whatever you want and hurt whoever you want and get away with it. God don't like ugly, and he will eventually show the dirt that you've done. And understand this, it says this in the word of God. And I'm telling this to Christians. When you got folks that are so boastful, it says the boastful shall not stand in your sight. You will hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. Come on now. Just wait and watch. As they say, watch as well as pray. We're going to see some stuff. And some folks are going to get those covers off their eyes because they're looking through them pink-colored glasses. They're trying to drink the Jim Jones Kool-Aid. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to keep some from selling their soul.
My Lord. My Lord.
He is saying it right here in the word of God. And I'm going back to verse 4 so that it gets into your spirit when you're watching this stuff. That it's going to come back to your mind what the word of God says. But you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who the Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. And we in America understand that. If you were watching your television on January 6, 2021, you understand everything that's in verses 4 through 6. We saw it, and it was horrible. I saw congresspeople on their knees praying because they didn't know if they were going to live through the day. I watched people crying, myself included, when I saw what can happen when lies are spoken and folks believe a lie is the truth.
My God.
And I can speak that because I have been an election judge. And I can tell you, there is very little leeway for anybody to cheat in an election when it comes to counting votes. Because you have to balance with the ones on the tabulator. And if they do not balance, you got to find where the mistake is before you can turn anything in. It is work. And people do not have time to lie. And you can't take half the ballots away and not count them. Because they're already counted. They're counted in a machine. And you got to balance. So understand, you have to have worked it to know that it was a lie that was being told, that it was not a fair election. It was probably one of the most fair elections I've ever seen. It was very fair. But we had a country falling apart. We're still dealing with all of the foolishness from the 2020 election and about to go into 2024 election. It doesn't make sense. But we better understand the Lord upholds the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Watch and see what's going to happen. God is getting ready to do some stuff. And there are folks that want to say that God is not in this, but God is in everything. Nothing happens without God's permission, and we need to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But as for me, I will come into your house in the midst multitude of your mercy. That's what God tells us. In fear of you, I will worship towards your holy temple. David told God, I don't know about these folks, but I'm going to tell you, to your house in the multitude of your mercy. We've got to go to God's house. We got to get into the presence with other people of God. You can't say, I'm going to stay home. It don't work like that. I can speak on myself. I was one of those folks. I love God. I worship. I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I cannot stand them folks in the church. And I'm not going. I was that attitude.
Oh, my Lord.
That's arrogant. It's arrogant and it's boastful. And it is not what God wants. You
Amen.
Don't want to stay at home on Sunday or Saturday, whatever day you go to church. He does not want
Amen.
Us at home. He wants us in the body of Christ. Because when we dwell together in unity, we got to do that for the Lord. And, you know, yes, I was blessed beyond measure. I will say that. I was. But I wasn't right. And I was,
Amen.
You know, the folks like to call church hurt. No, church hurt does not exist. That building did not hurt you. Some people in it may have, but the building
Amen.
Did. And the bottom line
Amen.
Is, if the people in that building hurt your heart, hurt your feelings, then you go to another building with other people that you know
Amen.
And that you love and that know and love you and that love God. That's what you do. You know, God didn't tell you that you had to stay a certain denomination. God didn't tell you you have to go to a certain building that because it's that denomination. God said, seek me. Seek me first. What is our word for today? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We've got to come together in unity to worship. And David said, in fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Don't
Amen.
Be like I was. I was young. In my little 30s and thought I knew everything, didn't know nothing. At that time, I think I was in my 30s. So I didn't know nothing, didn't know, have a clue. But because I had gone to school and I had studied the Bible and I knew the word of God and we had Bible study every, even though we had church, my husband and I, my kids, we had church at home. But we didn't do it every day.
Amen.
We didn't do it all the time, you know. It's sad when your children watch 700 Club and know more than you do because they watch it. Because we had it on all the time, 700 Club. You know, I watch G. Patterson every Sunday. You know, woke up with Bobby Jones for my praise and worship. Then went into G. Patterson to get a message. But that is not of God. That was not, I was not in the house of God getting a message that was from him. Even though I love G. E. Patterson, I do, and always will. That man probably got me through some stuff. But that, again, a TV evangelist doesn't know me. And if I died tomorrow, back, who would have eulogized my funeral? Who would have said, what church do you belong to? My name was on the roll, but I did not attend. And so I was not a member like I should have been. We got to remember
Amen.
That God is watching everything we do. And as we go into our proverb this morning, you know, that book of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 69, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Can I say it again? For the Lord gives wisdom.
Amen.
From his mouth
mm-hmm.
comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. God wants to say equity. That's what it says. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. God wants things to be right to him. And as we go into our scripture for today, where our word comes from. And it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Come on now. We talk about that too. Mother and I have talked about it. Treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where things break in and steal. Nothing that you have in your house, even the clothes on your back, can you take with you to heaven that you can take
Amen.
To the next life. Because when they open
Amen.
Up these cribs, all is there is bones and rotten clothes. Because you couldn't take
Amen.
Them with you. The only thing not in that casket is your soul. That's all you're taking is the soul. It's just the Lord. Or it's your soul filled with something else. Because if you're not letting your light shine, you're not doing the work that God has called you to do. We talked about it on yesterday. We got to let our light shine. We let the light of the Lord shine in us. And that's what we must do. Because, again, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. You can have 50 zillion houses, 100 and some odd cars, but not one of them can you take with you when you leave this earth. They're going to go to someone else. Our moth and rust will destroy and thieves will break in and take it. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where things do not break in and steal. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our heart and our treasure should be with the Lord. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? That there are people who are blind, but they are not dark because they have spiritual eyes to see. And I'm going to tell you, it is amazing when you are around people who cannot see, but they hear the heart. They have other senses that God has given them. When Paul was blind, think about it. The Lord used him as a blind man because he had to change his life, made him blind in order to see. Come on now. So don't get it twisted because you got folks that would take something like this and twist it around. Well, you know such and such. Girl, they blind. They can't. And they just, no, that's not the truth. And we can't get that. We're talking spiritual blindness. Not physical blindness, spiritual blindness. And it tells us the lamp of the body is the eye. Remember what we talked about, let your light so shine before men, right? If therefore your eye is good, that's your spiritual eye, your whole body will be full of light, right? If your spirit is right, mm-hmm. you are full of light. But if your eye is bad, meaning your spiritual eye, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Are you letting the light shine or are you letting darkness shine? That's what that's all about. Are you full of hate and hatred? Walk in the church and can't leave fast enough so you can get outside and talk about people. Leave fast enough so you can have a pastor for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, you know pastor preached this word and I didn't like it and I didn't like what he had to say. I sure didn't. And I ain't got to go back. That ain't the right spirit. That is darkness. Your light ain't shining anywhere in there. Just because you go and put your bottom in a pew does not mean that you have light shining. Because when you walk out that door and you cuss and fuss and smoke and drink and doing all the stuff that you did in the club last night and did not change from when you walked through those doors and came back out, your light's not shining. It says no one can serve two masters. This is the word that we need to take with us wherever we go. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. When you look up mammon in your Bible dictionary, it says mammon.
What does it mean?
Mammon. In our, it's a, it says riches. Mammon equals riches, wealth, are the God or the God, little g, of riches. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mm-hmm. You cannot serve God and the devil, because we understand that those that always is like the God of riches. You gotta have a whole lot. You don't have to have anything but your needs met.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've been at the highest heights and the lowest depths, but I understand that everything comes from God. He is the provider of everything. And when we come to the realization that God is in charge, you don't worry about all that other stuff. He provides what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it, where someone has been in need and God has brought them everything that they needed, from food to money, from transportation, everything they needed, God provided. You know, God is good like that. And it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Come on now. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet that your heavenly Father feeds them. And I know I've talked to you, and I think I said, Mother, picture of my gangster geese. And that's why I call them the gangster geese, because they come in. And they take over a yard. You know, the other day I was at work. And when I got off work, these were not geese. These were those little green birds. They were tiny. But they remind you of the Alfred Hitchcock movie, The Birds. These little birds
pooped
all over my dark car. My car was just covered. And I said, okay. You know, obviously the Lord is feeding them very well. You know, and when my geese come, they just come and take over, including my driveway. I was trying to get out of my driveway one day, and the geese had taken over and would not let me out. I had to wait until they took their time to walk across the drive to let me out. And then at the end of the drive, I got through one group. And then at the end of the drive, there's four of them at the very end of the drive, as to say, what did you say to let us let you out? And all I could say was, God gets the glory, because the word of God, his word right here, came into my mind. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit footer? I can tell you, not one cubit has been added, not one. I've been this same little height since I was probably 12 years old. So it is what it is. And it says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, and I tell you something, this year my grass has been green. All, it's still green, even after snow. Don't have any brown spots in it.
You know,
maybe after today when we get the snow starts to melt. But before the snow came, my grass was just as green as if it was spring. So don't tell me what God can do. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Come on now, all those fasters out there. Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about, tomorrow worry about today. Don't even worry. Just understand that your day is already taken care of. God's got you. And this is what the Word of God says in our life lessons. You know, from Psalm 5:4, Dr. Salmon tells us, you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. Many believers today think grace means they can sin without consequences, that God loves them and gives them so they can do what they want. But grace never changes the way God feels about sin. He hates it. Just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. I agree with you. Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you think about most throughout the day? What gets your heart beating faster than loudest? What do you think you couldn't live without? Whatever it is, it's your treasure, and nothing but God is worthy of it.
Mm. Amen.
Oh, Macy. Macy just had a sale today, and I just got to get out there because I got the shoe sale started. And, you know, to begin, it, oh, really? Nope. I don't need another pair of shoes. I had to laugh and say, you know, when you go on the fast and say, I'm not doing X, Y, and Z, it's like you get bombarded with stuff, you know.
Man.
Chocolate commercials, you know, the commercials that show burgers and fries and chicken nuggets and all these things that you know you're not going to eat. And I just get tickled. I'm like, that's what you do. You try to tempt folks a little low down, 30, 60 nuggets. But not today.
Amen.
Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. You got folks that live for greed. Too many of us try to serve two masters, God and work, our God and bank accounts. Come on now, our God and family. But Jesus says this is impossible. For two masters inevitably give contradictory demands. Who will you serve? Always in church.
Amen.
Ain't never at home. You ain't doing this, that, and the other. Always in church. Always giving to God. You know, when do you ever have time to be at home? When do you ever have time to do what you need to do for your house? And da-da-da. Why you always got to be in the house of God? There all the time. You don't have no life. But what if my life is being in the house of God? What if my life is spending time with God? That's what we have to have.
Amen.
Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't worry about what he said, she said, or anybody says about you. You are where you are supposed to be when you are there. And it says your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God doesn't tell us to stop worrying over food and shelter and clothing because we don't really need them. He knows we need them. We can stop worrying because he has promised to take care of the essentials. God takes care of what you need and when you need it. And I love what Dr. Stanley says in his life question. How can I overcome anxiety? God did not design you to be anxious or nervous. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told the crowd, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. And before our time of blog talk runs out, a word from Sister Carolyn this morning. And the word for today is this. Always on point. Good morning. No matter how stormy life gets, never let it bring you down. Always smile. God woke you up today. Have a moving on Monday. Mm-hmm. One more time. No matter how stormy life gets, never let it bring you down. What it say? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. So no matter how stormy life gets, never let it bring you down. Always smile and be thankful God woke you up today. Have a moment.
Amen.
You have to remember, somebody didn't wake up today. And I'll go back to the word for those that are on. We're going to be a little bit over Blog Talk listening, so don't hang up. Don't get off your social media. I just want to finish this word. And it said all of us are worried about the pace of life. When we reduce most of our anxieties to their lowest terms, we discover they involve fundamental things. Where do we live? What food we buy? What clothes to wear? What friends we have? What others think about us? We all do that. In all these terms, the issue for believers is Jesus Christ comes down to trust. Do you trust in the Lord? Do you believe that you are in charge of your life? Or do you acknowledge that God directs and provides? Your answer has everything to do with your anxiety level. Have you ever watched a mouse running inside a wheel? The faster he runs, the faster the wheel moves. But he doesn't make the slightest progress. He does not even have the sense to get off the wheel. That's what anxiety does to you. You run faster and faster, trying harder and harder to make these demands or prevent disaster. Still, you do not have control over your circumstance. But when something does not go quite right, your frustration level continues to mount. There is a way off the wheel. However, God created you. He knows your deepest needs. He longs for you to end the anxiety cycle and let him lead. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The word casting is related to the Greek verb used in Luke 19:35. When on Palm Sunday, the people of Jerusalem threw their garments onto a coat for Jesus to ride. The word describes the same motion, a deliberate action of setting something down and leaving it there. Jesus wants you to throw your cares on him and leave them there. You depend on him for life itself, and you acknowledge this relentless relationship by saying, here, Jesus, take my problems. You have the answers. I trust you to show me what to do and to take care of the consequences.
Amen.
Seek God first and watch him work in your life. Watch our Heavenly Father work in your life when you seek him. Love God as he loves you. Trust in God and watch him work in your life. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. God's got you today. Take care, family. That's all I have.
Amen.
I know that God has got us covered, and we're going to seek his righteousness today and always and be faithful to the Lord, because he is going to be faithful to you. For those that are fasted, God's got it. God's got you. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. God's got fruit and vegetables. Trust God and get something new. I got me some, I never had it until I was in Arizona, and they are multicolored carrots, and I cannot wait to get them in my skillet, and I'm going to make me some carrots with some cabbage and some greens today, and I'm excited because I know that it's going to be all good. So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed day. Mother Valerie, love you much. Blog Talk family, love you much. Join us again. Have been enough. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other in Jesus' name. We pray over you and yours. Remember that God is in charge of everything. And when you seek him first, he guides, he leads, and he takes you where you need to go. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He's got you covered. Don't worry. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And we believe that we will not have trouble because God has got us covered. Have a great day, family. Be blessed. Mother Valerie, I got to go to work. Mother Valerie's going to take a rest. And we will hopefully, God will, be back with you all tomorrow.
God bless everyone.
Good morning, Minister Shannon. How are you this morning?
I'm just truly blessed and happy.